KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Oh, hello. Well, I'm from the Temescal, where it's always sunny.
Southside Berkeley.
Santa Clara, California.
Coming up, we'll visit a restaurant in conservative rural California that relies on Bay Area diners.
We're outspoken liberals in this cafe and tolerant of all kinds of different types of people. And the community that we live in has not been so forward in those ideas.
Then we get a taste of some authentic Uyghur Chinese food.
We have the cumin lamb, cumin beef. That's Uyghur style.
And a mother and daughter bond over their love of food in the StoryCorps booth.
I have feeling that I was cooking inside my mother's belly.
Order up. Cross Currents is next. Today's show is all about food, and we'll start at a family farm tucked into the rolling hills of Amador County, that's southeast of Sacramento.
Something like 1,000 strawberry plants right here, and we jar all our jam in the cafe.
A cafe run by Ty Pulsecamp and his family in the nearby town of Jackson.
These are Barbados sheep. We have a nice lamb burger on the menu right now.
In a gold rush era town with brick buildings and a candy shop on its main street, farm to fork is a bit of an experiment, and not everything works. Take the duck eggs.
The eggs weren't really a hit in the restaurant industry. People aren't really ready for duck eggs.
But for her series, California Foodways, KALW's Lisa Morehouse found out that Ty and his family are used to pushing the boundaries of what people are ready for.
Rosebuds is a place that shouts its values from its walls. Bright green paint, huge family portraits, and tons of posters and flyers announcing programs for the arts, supporting local homeless initiatives, and advocating for LGBTQ rights. At least half the customers are from out of town. They get a steady stream of visitors from Sacramento, the Bay Area, even farther away.
We're from Stockton.
Manteca.
We're from Monterey.
Owner Mary Pulsecamp, Ty's mom, says that's important because Rosebuds doesn't always feel the love from all of their neighbors.
We're very grateful for city people coming out here. I mean, the big ranchers and the old families probably have blackballed us in some ways. We're outspoken liberals in this cafe, and the community that we live in has not been so forward in those ideas.
So Rosebuds has become a refuge for people who don't always feel accepted, including Mary's own family.
Rosebuds is like a beam of light.
Ty works the front of the house like he's done almost his entire life.
I started on the cash register when I was 6 years old. It's like my sibling, Rosebuds. It's like the fourth child.
His parents and aunt and uncle opened Rosebuds nearly 30 years ago. His brother, Roy Beard Kyle, is the chef.
But when the farm has a bumper crop of something, we're going to use those for sure. And there's a dialogue between the restaurant and the farm.
Happy birthday, dear Katie. Happy birthday.
Sister Megan has worked there throughout her life, but the day I visit, she's a customer celebrating a friend's birthday. Mary says the family really started supporting LGBTQ issues when Megan came out as a lesbian in high school.
In this community, it was really scary.
She worried her daughter would be bullied.
But that was just the beginning.
Because Ty stood out even more. There was the controversial neon pink baseball cap, the short hair dyed purple that provoked a teacher.
She pulled me aside on the way out to PE one day and told me that I was ruining my life. I knew then that she was wrong, but what I didn't know was how her saying that would still be a part of my consciousness 30 years later. That's obscene. I mean, I was just a fat little girl. I was just trying to be okay.
He didn't know it then, but Ty is a trans man. Playing with his look, he learned about himself. There was a mohawk, clothes cut up and pieced back together, decorated with safety pins.
For me, my parents giving us the room to express ourselves through our physical aesthetic was a matter of my survival. What else would I have done? If I couldn't cut my hair, I maybe would have been cutting myself.
He says, especially with his mom, he had a model of how to show his true self, even at church. While other families may have filled the back pews.
My family always went right to the front and sat right in that front row. Mohawk, purple hair, and all.
So I have Ashley for four.
With that family support, Ty's moved through the restaurant with ease and authority since he was a kid.
Were you up for Daffodil Hill this weekend?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Today, he's wearing a kilt, his full red beard braided.
One of the neat things about having grown up in a restaurant is that I was able to feel powerful. School never felt safe, and that's not healthy for our brains.
But at Rosebud's, he saw every table of customers as a stage, and he learned his own voice. As high school began, Ty knew he was attracted to women. He presented as butch and bound his breasts.
Ty started the Gay Straight Alliance at Amador High School, and it caused just an uproar in the community.
I did not go to Glee, okay? That was not my life. School was rough.
His tires were slashed on campus.
And, I have been followed home. I have been run off the highway. I had dog shit smeared in the front seat of my car parked in front of my childhood home.
Ty and Mary both remember a downturn in customers coming to Rosebud's.
I had friends whose parents grounded them from me. So it didn't seem unusual that there were people that weren't interested in dining with us.
As high school wound down, Ty still didn't know the word transgender, but he did something really dramatic for a new teenage driver.
I cut my driver's license in half, right over the gender marker.
Soon after going off to college, Ty sat his parents down and said,
"If it's all right, I think I'd like to be your son now."
After college in Santa Cruz and a few years in Sacramento, Ty returned to Jackson. He loves the country and the rolling hills of Amador County and wanted to be part of his family's farm-to-fork efforts at Rosebud's. And coming home meant returning to the sanctuary of the restaurant.
I have experienced a great deal of trauma at points in my life where my brain was still developing.
He says he deals with PTSD and agoraphobia and went through periods when he couldn't work. So having a safe space is essential. And that's something Ty and his family pay forward. One night after closing, Rosebud's hosts a potluck for members of the Tri-County LGBT Alliance, which puts on a pride parade in nearby Murphy's. Mary welcomes the guests.
It's people like you that have made the world safer for my baby. And so I appreciate you. If you're ever scared or worried, just know that there's someone out there in the world who appreciates, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being an ally or for being out, and welcome.
Some here are recent arrivals to Amador County, like Richard Filia.
I like to have a little piece of land with something I can grow things on.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that in the middle of the city.
Cindy Sparks is here with her three kids.
My wife and I just decided one day we're going to move to the mountains.
From the Sacramento suburb of Elk Grove, they enrolled their kids in a one-room schoolhouse.
I found it really easy to connect with people here, which is amazing because in the city I found it less opportunities to meet people, so I love it.
16-year-old Miles goes to the youth group Ty started in the region, but is attending the potluck for the first time.
I'm basically here because, I think meeting a lot of people who are going through the same thing helps, develop, who I'm going to be when I grow up.
Miles' mom is here in support, but struggling with pronouns.
I love her to death, so...
I keep correcting, don't worry.
So whatever Miles decides to be, that's its choice. Her, his,
him.
I still have to get used to this.
No worry, we'll get through it.
And gatherings like this one at Rosebud's help.
So there is food. We have, in the tradition of my people, dessert is up front. And so if you would like to have, this is a...
Ty says that's what this space is all about.
We try to use the bounty that comes through the cafe and reinfuse it right back into Jackson. You know, the saying, we are the salt of the earth, I never understood what that meant. But it was explained to me to be that we have to flavor this space, you know, and if we hold back our flavor, then we're really ripping off the universe. We are the salt.
In Jackson, I'm Lisa Morehouse for Cross Currents.
Asal Ehsanipour contributed reporting to that story. You can listen to more stories in the series by subscribing to Lisa's podcast, California Foodways, wherever you get your podcasts. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Food is a connector, and for immigrant families, one whiff or taste can immediately transport you to your mama's kitchen thousands of miles away. And when your homeland is going through tough times, that connection can be especially important. The Uyghurs are a Muslim minority in Western China who've been marginalized for years there. They've been in the news for months now because the Chinese government has been sending hundreds of thousands of them to internment camps for, quote, re-education. They are Chinese with Turkic and other Central Asian heritage, and their food is a fusion of Chinese, Kazakh, and Turkish flavors. There's a small Uyghur community here in the Bay Area and a few restaurants. One of them is in Fremont called Eden Silk Road Cuisine. The owner is Zuli Ebay, who came here 6 years ago from Western China's Xinjiang province, which has been in the news a lot. I hung out with him last year in his restaurant kitchen while his team was cooking dinner one night, and we had a chat about food and home.
What did he do? What is he doing?
This is a hand-cut pearl chow mein.
Pearl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pearl chow mein. They cut the noodles and boiling it. After boiling, they will cook. They will fry with meat.
So what are these? We're standing above like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 square containers.
Yeah,
of all kinds of sauces and spices. Can you tell me what some of these are?
Yeah. This is a salt. This is a potato starch. This is a soil. This is garlic. This is a black soy sauce. This is a black pepper. This is cumin.
Cumin.
Yeah, this is cumin.
Is cumin used in regular Chinese food or just Uyghur?
Just Uyghur. We have the cumin lamb, cumin beef. That's Uyghur styles. It is very similar to kebab, this testing kebab, but we not on the grill. We do it on the oven, but you eat...
Fry it?
Yeah, fry it. After fried, you eat that the cumin lamb, cumin beef. It is very similar to test, like kebab testing. Mm-hmm. It is very good. And we can.
What's your favorite food to eat from the time of, you know, your family back home? Did your mom used to cook a lot?
Yeah, I love Uyghur noodles. We call it lagman.
Lagman.
Lagman. Lagman is my favorite. I love my mom's lagman, and all the Uyghur peoples love lagman too. Some of the words, if anybody cannot eat lagman in 1 week, he will be die.
And yeah. You make it here?
Yeah, yes, we have lagman because lagman is our main dishes, our specialty. And we have big plate chicken, we call it dapenji. That's my favorite. And the or
Dapenji.
Dapenji is my restaurant first sales.
Your restaurant is the first to sell it.
Yes. Almost all the Chinese people or the local American people love Dapenji. It is a long plate, just this plate. Long plate. There's a noodle on the below. And up is tomatoes, chicken. You can taste. It's very nice.
And so, what's the most popular dish when people come in? What are they most? What's their favorite?
Most popular is dapenji after kebab. Almost 80% tables you can find dapenji or kebab because all the people know. Almost 3 years we opened this restaurant, all customers know about. They have some idea. They didn't look at the menu. They call, hey, give me one dapenji, one kebab. Oh, that's it. Yeah,
straight up.
Yeah, straight up.
So here in the Bay Area, is it a big community of Uyghurs?
Not very big, maybe over 500 Uyghur peoples here, but over 20,000 Xinjiang people is here, not Uyghurs. They are from, they are Han, they are Chinese, not Uyghurs. But over 20,000 Chinese people very low Uyghur foods. Because they are living in Xinjiang, they love Uyghur culture, Uyghur food.
What is this delicious thing that's being fried right now?
Yeah, right now frying the chicken, tomatoes, napa cabbage, and the mushroom, the garlic. This is very important for the hand-cut pearl chow mein.
Lots of garlic.
Yeah, yes, lots of garlic, ginger, and peppers. An onion.
And one of those 18 spices you have over there.
Yeah. He wants to put the soy sauce and vinegar right now.
What is his name, Chef?
Go.
Chef Go.
He is our master chef.
Where did you get the recipes from?
Yeah, I get the most of the recipe from my mom, especially our mutton soup. Or mutton soup is very nice. I came here, opened the restaurant, and my mutton soup is not very tasty as my mom. So I called her several times. She tell me every details, every ingredients, and in the end, I can do it.
She must be very proud of you.
Yes, of course.
And can you teach me something in your language? Just how do I say goodbye and thank you?
Thank you is rahmat.
Rahmat.
Goodbye is khosh.
Rahmat khosh. Thank you very much.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Henna Ababa. Food can also connect generations. Next, we're going to hear about how cooking is a special part of the relationship between one mother and daughter. Maritza Hurtado Torres has been cooking for as long as she can remember. Her daughter, Cheryl Bonilla, has been eating that food her whole life. At the StoryCorps booth in San Francisco, they talked about how their bond has grown over the backdrop of Maritza's Colombian cuisine.
Mi nombre es Maritza Hurtado. Mi edad es 47 años.
My name is Cheryl. I am 24 years old today.
Ask me everything you want, Cheryl.
Okay. I just want to start off where are you from?
Colombia.
Oh, that's a beautiful country. Yes, it is very much so.
I studied for to be a chef.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Your cooking is very delicious.
I know that. And you know, maybe you don't know, but I'm cooking. I just started cooking when I was 7 years old. I do everything for my house, for my man, for birthdays, party, Christmas. It was so fun when I cook. All my neighbors want to eat my food.
I know I get asked this a lot, you know, what's my favorite dish? I have many dishes, but, you know, one of my favorites is, I like her enchiladas, yes. Chicken enchiladas.
Oh my gosh.
Excuse me, it's my turn right now. It's really delicious, you know, knowing that, she, you know, in Colombia, they don't know anything about enchiladas. So for someone that's not Mexican doing it, it's really good. A lot of people say. Another dish she has is a stuffed chicken, boneless stuffed chicken, and it's whole. You know, she debones it, stuffs it in with rice and chicken and vegetables. So, you know, and I eat gourmet food almost every day.
I have feeling that I was cooking inside my mother's belly.
Yes.
Because I love to cook. I love to cook for people, not for the money. I just like to do it. I just like
her
to
passion.
I enjoy to cook. It's my passion. Do you know how to cook?
A little bit. I can defend myself just a little bit, you know.
Well, in the kitchen.
You have to say the truth.
I do say the truth. Well. You know. I one time I did cook, and everybody thought it was my mom's dish, and they realized it was mine. So I felt special that day. You know, I have some potential, but until I don't move out, that will not happen yet.
We have a good time. We have happy family, and I enjoy to stay with Cheryl. We have every week, we have a day together. We going to...
It's my day off on Thursday, so
yes.
It's mother-daughter day.
Yes.
Every Thursday.
We love it because we can talk about men's.
We could talk about a lot of stuff during breakfast. Because then after that, the hours just go by very quick until
yes.
I have school at night. It's the best time. We just wake up. We're going to say we're going to go somewhere. That's our quest, too. That's our quest. Try to see if we could go to all the restaurants in San Francisco.
Oh yes, because I love to go eat outside.
Yes.
I love to go eat outside.
I am very happy to have you as a mother.
I'm so proud to be your mom. And I want you to be my friend forever.
Yes, we're gonna be living next door.
I love you, mommy.
Me too.
Maritza Hurtado Torres and her daughter Cheryl Bonilla shared their story with San Francisco StoryCorps. That story was produced by Greer McVeigh. And speaking of food and women and immigrant family, join me this Thursday night at Besharam Restaurant in the Mission. I'll be hosting a panel with Indian chef Hina Patel and artist Maria Kamar. We'll be talking about food, family, and being a feminist in conservative communities. Spicy. All the details are at KELW.org. This music is by Bridget Boyle from Oakland. She's performing at Cafe Chiave in Berkeley tomorrow night.
music finally sings, I'll start counting in like telephone rings. Pick up, pick up, pick up, pick up.
Today's team includes Janae Darden, Sophie Codner, Adriana Morga, True Gwynn, Marissa Ortega Welch, Jocelyn Tubankai, and Eli Wertschafter. Our engineers are James Rollins, Tariq Foda, and Gabe Graben. Content manager is Shireen Adil. Audrey Dilling is filling in for our managing editor, David Boyer. Our deputy news director is Angela Johnston. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.
I am crawling in my skin, waiting on forever to begin. I am stuck in one day out.